will hear next in the case of United States against Gilbertson.
Counsel, Attorney Ryan Lister on behalf of the defendant, Alan Gilbertson. I apologize, Your Honor, I'm coming down with something this morning. This is a unique case in a couple of respects on the facts. There was a deal made in this case that the state investigators, Konopecki and Crummell, met with Mr. Gilbertson. And as a result of that meeting, Mr. Gilbertson arrived, and he mentioned some statements about an 89 Ford Probe, a car that did not belong to him or the auto dealership, and more importantly, was not involved in the indictment in this matter. He had also made some statements to the investigators that he had repaired or replaced the odometer heads on approximately 25 other vehicles. Then at that point, there was an agreement reached by the state investigators that they would refer the matter to the state courts, but not to the federal courts for prosecution. After that point, Mr. Gilbertson cooperated, turned over all of his records, made full restitution to all of the individuals involved, surrendered his motor vehicles operator's license, and filled out a form with each one of the buyers, a settlement form that was provided by the state. After all of that was done, after this deal was made, then the case was referred to Marathon County, Wisconsin for state prosecution. The prosecution was dismissed in Marathon County, and the state agent investigator, Kevin Konopecki, took the files to the U.S. attorney, and it was charged in federal court. Another fact that is extremely important are the odometer statements in this case. When we say odometer statements, it's the mileage statement that's on a motor vehicle title that when a seller of a vehicle in Wisconsin has to enter the mileage on the title. That was done by the prior owners of the vehicle. The authors of those statements, it is undisputed, never testified in this case. There was no showing that they were unavailable, and it is undisputed that Mr. Gilbertson never had the right to cross-examine them prior to this hearing. The government also concedes that these...
The question I have is how can something be testimonial when it precedes the crime?
Sir, it's testimonial. The first step of Crawford, the examples that are given in Crawford is testimonial or testimony is used to establish some fact. And they were establishing the fact of what the mileage was prior to it.
I don't think you're addressing my question.
I'm sorry, sir.
These statements were not statements given during the investigation of this crime.
That's correct,
these
yes.
These statements preceded the crime. All of the examples, indeed the whole discussion of the Supreme Court in Crawford, had to do with the investigation of a particular offense, and all the examples of testimonial statements are examples of things that would be dredged up in lieu of affidavits. None of them had anything to do with events that preceded the offense. And one would think almost as a technical matter, it would not be possible to imagine the investigation of the offense preceding its occurrence.
That's correct. The Crawford examples all dealt with pending, or what I would call pending litigation, such as interrogatories and so on. However, in this situation, I believe it would be testimonial for this reason. Those are documents required by the state, and they are being done to establish the chain of title on the vehicles, and specifically for this purpose.
Indeed, one would think that would be a good definition of non-testimonial material. It's not designed to show a crime. Indeed, it couldn't possibly, because it preceded a crime. It's designed for normal record-keeping purposes.
I believe it's like asking
somebody what his Social Security number is.
Your Honor, I believe it goes a little bit farther than that because of the certification that's required on the motor vehicle titles. And on that certification, the owner is certifying that he has complied with federal and state law. And I believe that makes it testimonial. The fact that they are required to do it, and it is part of the motor vehicle transfer procedure. So then, if I may proceed on going back to the Crawford analogy, the second step of Crawford is undisputed in this case. They weren't called, and there was never any showing of them not being available for cross-examination. The first step of Crawford, as the court has indicated, is it has to be testimonial, and the definition that the Supreme Court gave, even though reserving future definitions for it, the testimony, a solemn declaration or affirmation made for the purpose of establishing or proving a fact. What is so important in this case is that those motor vehicle titles were brought in to establish the prior record to show what the mileage was at a preceding time. Without that being brought in, there would be no evidence of a violation in this case. And I believe bringing that in as a solemn declaration or affirmation is being brought in to establish that fact. It was prior to the offense. It was not made with the concept of litigation involved at all. And that is correct. Along with that, Your Honor, is the facts that on the documents that are involved in all of these cases, and all four have the same particular documents, there is a document placed on the window of the car. In that one, the odometer was checked exempt, and again, odometer meaning mileage statement, was checked as exempt. The car is 10 or more model years old. No representation as to the odometer was made on the vehicle. Then all four of the parties filled out an application for title and license plate. And again, on that application, it was checked as exempt, as the reason being 10 or more model years older. And then when Mr. Gilbertson signed the title, he did not represent any mileage. He simply, again, exempt 10 or more model years old. The argument has been made by the government in this matter that these were adoptive admissions because Mr. Gilbertson relied upon these particular mileage statements and so forth. I believe the facts in this matter clearly show that he never represented any of the mileage, never relied upon the mileage through any of these documents, and more telling is Mr. Konopecki, the investigator's testimony in this case. When he was asked about the documentation of all four vehicles, Mr. Konopecki responded to each of the four vehicles virtually in the same words, that nothing in the documentation shows that Mr. Gilbertson relied upon the mileage statements. Next, Your Honor, I'd like to address the government's misconduct in this matter. At the suppression hearing, Judge Shabazz ordered that any statements prior to the deal were admissible, any statements after the deal were inadmissible for any reason. Prior to the deal was statements about the 89 Ford Probe. There were statements about Mr. Gilbert's in indicating that he had repaired or replaced the odometer units on approximately 25 cars. Those were allowed in as they were prior to the deal. It is undisputed. The testimony is clear. Mr. Gilbertson did not know of all of the vehicles he sold, which were the 25, nor did Mr. Konopecki, nor did anyone else. During the trial in this matter and in closing argument, the state made several references to the fact that when Mr. Konopecki would find a title that had a discrepancy on it, he would call Mr. Gilbertson and be asked if that was one of those. At one point, that was objected to by trial counsel Otanowicz in that matter, and it was sustained by the court. In closing argument and in rebuttal, the government referred numerous times to the confession. That invokes a very strong image in a juror's mind. It is clear that the confession did not involve the four cars that were involved in the indictment. Yet the image invoked as to a confession left a strong and indelible image in the jurors' minds. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, counsel. Mr. Reinhart.
Good morning, Your Honors. David Reinhart for the United States. Defendant's first argument, defendant claims that the admission of the odometer statements violated his Sixth Amendment right to confrontation. And that argument should be rejected really on two grounds. First of all, these odometer statements were adopted admissions. Adopted admissions under 801 are not hearsay, and therefore Crawford really doesn't even apply. In this particular case, the defendant purchased the vehicles with that odometer statement on it. I'm assuming that the mileage is very important when you purchase a used vehicle. He signed right when you see the exhibits right under that particular odometer reading, and then he sent those titles in to the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, and now he wants to say that those documents are unreliable, and his actions are to the contrary to that. If the court believes that Crawford may apply, the odometer statements are clearly non-testimonial. They were not made in reasonable anticipation of a later trial. I mean, this isn't grand jury testimony or the result of custodial.
Logically, we would get to this argument before the other argument, would we not?
I would think that we would start with the first argument that in fact, Crawford doesn't apply at all because it is an adopted admission. It's not hearsay. Crawford's concerned with hearsay statements that are unreliable. So I would submit that we would start with the adopted omissions and then proceed to whether if the court believes that Crawford applies, then to the non-testimonial portion. What we're dealing with here is an everyday business transaction. No person who is simply selling his vehicle and putting down the mileage reasonably believes that he's going to wind up at some point in criminal court, and that's really the standard. As far as the second issue now regarding the claim of prosecutorial misconduct, first of all, it was proper to call this defendant's statements a confession. And in the statements, the four statements I'm talking about are the statements before the promise to forego federal prosecution, and that was the statement that he changed out the odometer on the Ford probe, not repaired or replaced, as counsel stated. He did it to approximately 25 cars. He knew it was wrong, and he did it to induce the sale. I think a common sense interpretation of those statements or those admissions are that they are, in fact, a confession. And I made it clear in the record on 2-5 in closing arguments that those are the statements that I referred to as far as his confession. And I want to make it very clear as far as the second argument by counsel regarding prosecutorial misconduct that we approached this issue at the final pretrial hearing. And we voiced our concerns about this defendant potentially going into an area that was previously suppressed. And the defense counsel at that point said they weren't going to go into that area. And then they went into the area. We responded And then at that point, they did not object. It wasn't until later that they filed an objection, and the judge deemed that they had waived any objection. And in closing argument, defense counsel indicated, Mr. Kanapaky is relying on vehicles he never verified. Where was the follow-up to verify the mileage? Mr. Kanapaky chose to make no investigation whatsoever about the true mileage on the car because he really didn't care to know. He was so sure of his assumptions, he failed to investigate the truth behind the titles. When, in fact, he did verify these titles by asking the defendant, was this one of them? And the defendant would say, yes. So the defendant invited the one-sentence response by the government in its rebuttal. The comments were proper. If the court, for some reason, decides the comments were not proper, Gilbertson was not prejudiced. In this case, there was overwhelming evidence of guilt. I have no further argument.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Reinhardt. Anything further, Mr. Lister?
Your Honor, I'd like a very brief rebuttal on the adoptive admission argument.
One of the important factors is whether or not there was a manifestation of an intent to adopt the previous mileage statements. As I've indicated, the Wisconsin Buyer's Guide, the Wisconsin Title Application Form, clearly were all marked exempt, 10 or more model years older. And Mr. Kanapaky's own testimony is nothing in the documentation indicated that Mr. Gilbertson had relied upon the mileage statement. The probative value of these statements is what makes the government's case in this matter. It establishes, in essence, a benchmark to determine the mileage at the current sale from the mileage in the previous sales. And that's exactly what was done here, and it was done with documents from a previous author that was not called to testify. I would like to clarify one other point. The argument was made by the government that the individuals, the prior authors of these odometer mileage statements, did not fill them out with the intent or expectation that they would end up in criminal court. Those are not the individuals that would end up in criminal court. It is the facts of what the vehicle had on it at the time it was sold and their testimony as a witness that is required. As in any fact that precedes any transaction, they would be called into federal court merely as a witness and not as a defendant. If there are no questions, thank you, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement. Our next case for argument this morning is Cunningham against Barnard.